Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the first 12 verses of this passage, Jesus essentially blasts the chief priests, the scribes, the teachers of the law, the very people whom three times he has said are going to condemn him to death, are the people that he, in fact, condemns himself in that parable of the tenants. And after he does that, they leave, and they're plotting now on how they want to destroy Jesus, how they want to kill him, essentially. So what they do is they then get two opposing groups to work together to try to trap Jesus. They get the Pharisees, who are strict observers of God's law. They don't support Rome whatsoever. They support Israel. They support the people of God. They get the Pharisees to work with what you might call the Herodians. The Herodians are people who were supporters of Herod, the King Herod, and also supporters of Rome. It's like getting Democrats and Republicans to work together on something, and that's what the people are doing. They're working together, but they're working against Jesus. So you have these two groups, the Herodians and the Pharisees, and they come to Jesus with what they think is a question that will just trap him. There's no way out of this question. And they ask him, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Now, Caesar, as our Bible translates for us accurately, is the emperor of Rome. And Rome is the superpower of the day. All the known world right here, it belongs to Rome. And all of it is under one man, the emperor, Caesar. And so they ask, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Now, the tax they're referring to would have used a specific coin. The picture on the overhead right here is the picture of that coin, a Greek denarius. And this tax was referred to as the head tax. And if you had to pay this head tax, that meant that you were subservient to Rome. It was a way of Rome kind of making sure that you know and knew who is in charge and who is boss. So if Jesus tells the people, no, you shouldn't pay this tax, he's in trouble. Because then he's setting himself up as an enemy to Rome. But if he says, yes, you should pay this tax, then all his fellow countrymen are going to think that he's no friend of theirs, that he's not a good and proper Jewish person. So it is a trapping question. But Jesus, he's clever. He should be. He's the Son of God, right? He's clever. He knows his way out of things, and he knows how to throw things back on other people. And so he recognizes that he's surrounded by a bunch of hypocrites, and he asks for a coin, and they give him a coin, presumably one just like this. And he asks them, whose likeness is this? Whose inscription is this on this coin? Now, on the right-hand side, you have a picture of a man sitting. I believe that that's supposed to be the god Zeus, the Greek god Zeus. And on the side is written, high priest, okay? But the other side is probably more important. On the left side, you have a picture of Caesar himself. And when they answer Jesus about this question, that's who they're referring to. This is Tiberius Caesar, the Caesar that was Caesar during Christ's time on earth, especially towards the end of his life and the crucifixion. But what's interesting is what's written on the coin. On the coin it says, Tiberius Caesar Augustus. That's his title, that's his name. The son of the god Augustus. See, the Caesars, starting with the Caesar before this one, essentially believe themselves to be gods on earth, that they were divine beings. And in fact, they would use some language that the gospel writers, and especially Luke, stole and took and put and gave it to Christ instead of to Caesar. There was a common phrase that Caesar is Lord. It was a phrase used at that time. They often would refer to Caesar as Savior. In fact, there was this saying that called Pax Augustus, the peace of Augustus Caesar. Caesar was the one who brought peace to the world, is what they would say. These are all phrases that we use and the gospel writers took and used for Jesus instead. In Caesarea Philippi, towards the northern end of Israel, if I remember right, my geography right, it's a town that was specifically built and named after Caesar. And in that town, there's a temple. And in that temple, it's a temple dedicated to the worship of Caesar. Everything about this coin that Jesus holds in his hand is a violation of what the Jews had and what we have in the first commandment, that you shall have no other gods before me, that you shall make no graven images. This coin that Christ holds is blasphemy. It's idolatrous. It is a graven image of a man who would call himself the Son of God. Now, I can guarantee you all the Israelites that are surrounding Jesus right now would really like him to say, throw this piece of garbage away, to hell with Caesar, he is not the one we worship. But Christ's response is just brilliant, and there's a lot to it, and it causes the people to be amazed by what Jesus says. He says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what is God's. Caesar wants his coin back, the one that he made, the one that he stamped with his image back. Fine, give it to him. But give to God the things that belong to God. Now at this point, the people that are hearing Christ are forced to ask themselves a question. And that question is, well then, what belongs to God? What are the things of the Lord? Genesis 1, 26 and 27. At the close to the end of the creation account, when God is at the sixth day and he is making human beings, God says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. What belongs to God? What has the image of God stamped on them? You do. I do. Every human being ever born has the image of God stamped upon them. Give to Caesar what has his image on it. Fine. That's fine. He wants it back. Give it to him. But give to God what has his image stamped on us. Now, God gave us government. He gave us rulers. He gave us authorities in our lives. That is a gift from God. Luther teaches us that. No matter how corrupt, they are given to us, and they are given to us to bring order, to bring law, to bring society out of chaos so that society doesn't fall into chaos. It is a gift from God. And we are instructed here to give to this authority what belongs to this authority. But every man, every woman, every child is created and stamped with the image of God, and God lays claim to what is his. You are his. this phrase that amazes the people that are hearing him. It amazes them because Christ is calling them to repentance, calling them to understand who is Lord over them, and it's not Caesar. It's not the Pharisees. It's not the Herodians. It's not Herod. It's not the chief priests. It's not the scribes. It's not the teachers of the law of Moses. It is the Lord, the one in whose image they are made, whose image they bear. All people have been made in the image of God, even when we don't bear that image well. But you, dear Christian, have an inscription written upon you that not everybody has. In baptism, an image of God is taken and further stamped, further inscribed, inscribed with the cross of Christ, and etched upon you is an etching just like this, but it says, you are a child of God. You are an image, and you are a child that is imprinted upon you. So give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. Would you pray with me? Almighty, gracious, and heavenly Lord, we give you thanks for the way that you have created us. We pray that you would remind us that we are made in your image, and so is our neighbor. We thank you for the blessing that you have given to us in baptism, that you have taken what is yours and made it even more yours, that you've inscribed in us and upon our hearts the cross of Christ and given us the title Child of God. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us to be faithful and good stewards and good citizens of the country we live in, but even more so to be good citizens and faithful stewards to the citizenship you have given us in heaven, that we belong to you. We pray this in your name. Amen.